My name is Ray. I'm from GitLab, if it's not obvious from the clothes I'm wearing today. There's also my Twitter handle, so I'd be happy to answer your questions like after I'm done. Like, I know some of you will probably want to go to keynote. I'll stick around, but you can also DM me on Twitter. Happy to answer any questions you have. Few topics that I want to go over. Before I came to GitLab about 18 months ago, I was involved in more traditional open source projects that are foundation based. So I'll talk about my transition and sort of what I noticed, like especially in the early days when I started at GitLab about 18 months ago. And this was actually one of the questions I had before I changed jobs was, why do people join single company based projects and what's sort of their motivation? So I'll share some of the things that I've learned. And some of the things that I've been trying to do over the last 18 months to not only grow the community, but make sure that people who join the community feel welcome and stick around. Forgot that there was a build. I'll talk about my career over the last several years, I guess. So I joined the Linux Foundation in the middle of 2014. And at the time I joined, this is during the formation stage of a project called OPNFV. You'll see the third logo on the top, Open Platform for Network Function Virtualization. It really rolls off the tongue. Have at least one community member in the room. Timing-wise, I felt very fortunate because this is when we're talking to prospective members, the founding members of the project, and we're talking a lot about governance, obviously, of the project, and we talked a lot about how we want the technical communities to work. So it was pretty instructive being involved in those discussions with the founding members. And what's also cool about the project is that it's more of an integration project. So we work with a lot of upstream communities, like Open Daylight is one, and even projects outside of the LF, like OpenStack. There was like a huge upstream community that we work with. So I got a good visibility into how other communities work in terms of like governance, in terms of how people do releases, or also like how people do events. So that was pretty instructive. So after about 4 years at the Linux Foundation, I decided to take the plunge and come to GitLab. So I was being naive. I had a pretty good like interview process like before I came to GitLab, and I thought I knew what I was like getting myself into. I figured I'm still in open source. I mean, one of the big changes that people go through when they join GitLab is that GitLab is completely remote. We don't have a single physical office, so everybody works from home. But that's how I worked at the LF, because LF is pretty much remote work environment as well. So I figured my transition should be pretty easy. And there were a couple of things I noticed in the first like couple of weeks of starting, and I'll talk briefly about that. I got a lot of like a graphics there. Traditional like a foundation-based projects, I mean, a lot of the technical work happens like asynchronously, like using tools like GitHub, hopefully GitLab or other tools like issue tracking, and you do a lot of technical work asynchronously. But you also have a lot of synchronous meetings. There might be some people that are involved in like a Kubernetes and other big projects these days. I mean, you can fill your time like if you live in California like I do, you can feel like 6 to 9 a.m. just going to like project-related work group meetings or various discussions. The good news is that there are a lot of opportunities to sort of interact with community members real time. And what I noticed when I came to GitLab was that the meetings really didn't exist with individual contributors. Like, I had to reach out to these people on a one-on-one basis. And I used the term yesterday, in the U.S. jargon, it felt more like retail politicking. This is like election year, unfortunately, in the U.S. But so I need to like reach out to individuals on a one-on-one basis. And this is all done like over like a Zoom or conferencing tools, like virtually, right? I mean, and the other thing that happens in big projects like Kubernetes or CNCF is that you have like big gatherings a couple of times a year at least, right? So you get to see people a few times a year, and that was lacking. And I mean, to be honest, like the first even few months, I felt a little isolated from the rest of the community. I got to meet them like, on a one-on-one basis, but I still a little isolated and a bit lonely, to be honest. So that was a big adjustment for me. And the other thing, I have social media here. Like when I worked at the LF, I don't think I really use like social media that often. Like we had marketing team members that were doing a lot of the social media on behalf of the project. So I was mostly a consumer of information. And this is one thing that I really need to change to really get my message, not only my message, but company's message out to the rest of the community is to use more of the social media tools, not just Twitter and LinkedIn, but things like, you know, recording stuff on YouTube, making sure it's available. In this other conversation that I'm having a lot with my team members is just be more active in terms of like blogging and starting a conversation to reach out to more people. So that was another shift that I had to make as I switch my job over to GitLab. And the other one, I have a slide on like governance. It looks like an org chart. In foundation-based projects, a lot of the members are intimately involved in a lot of the decision making. Even things like, you know, how much of the marketing budget that we want to spend on like which events that the project wants to go to. So, I mean, there might be foundation staff members, like people like me, that were facilitating a lot of the conversations, but the members were like actively involved in like a lot of the decision making. Is this product ready for release? But in single company based projects like at GitLab, we have product managers and engineering managers that are making a lot of the decision, right? Oops, sorry. Sorry about that. So, I mean, obviously we welcome like feedback and conversations, and I was having, chat with somebody earlier today. Like at GitLab, even our roadmaps are completely public. If you go to our handbook page, look under directions, product managers do a good job of publicizing their plans for like, for example, for 2020, and we welcome feedback, and people do provide feedback on what we're working on. But, you know, unless there is like a huge controversy, I mean, the community members don't regularly insert themselves into like a roadmap decision making as an example. So that's obviously like a big switch that I experienced when I start like 18 months ago. A couple of other changes I want to point out. So you've probably seen like charts like this. You know, I've been working with Biturgia since I came to GitLab. You've probably seen like a chart, like a pie chart like this in other projects. I mean, this unfortunately sometimes can become a beauty contest. Like big projects, like each company wants to claim that they're one of the top five contributors. So you have like an organizational information on each of the developers. But for single company based projects, all these contributors are doing this in on their own time. Like they're not doing this on behalf of their employer. So like the largest block here on the pie chart, I'll try to step away, is it says affiliation is unknown because people are just contributing with their Gmail or other personal email addresses. So even like regular contributors that I know, like I don't even know like who they work for. I mean, which is not a problem, but it's basically, you know, the stats that we look at for contributors is more individual basis, not based on who their employers are. I mean, there are exceptions at GitLab. We have big customers like Siemens. I mean, they actually have like active number, like it's several number member of their team. I mean, they allocate portion of their work time like contributing to GitLab, which is great, but that's more of an exception than the rule. The other item that I want to get better at, and if you have any suggestions on this, I would love to hear it. I mean, as a community manager, one of the things I really enjoy doing is doing recognition. Like, you know, whether it's at like a big public event, like getting somebody up on stage and just recognize them for wonderful work they've done for the community. Like what it feels like at GitLab, I'm doing like one-on-one recognition. Somebody helped me out, like streamline the contributing.md file, and that's great. And I reached out to that person in the UK and was able to get some GitLab merchandise and recognize that person. But I couldn't do it in a big public forum that I could identify. So that's something that I really want to work on, but I mean, that's one aspect I do definitely miss working at for a single company project. So I want to switch gears, and then I'll share what I learned in working with our community members. And I want to also provide a context in terms of why, you know, contributions are important for us. I mean, we have a tagline, you probably saw it on my cover slide, it says everyone can contribute, and then we really like to hold that as one of our core values. The contribution is important, and one of my colleagues in backend engineering, he articulated this much better than anybody that I've talked to at GitLab. So he said it's great when people contribute code to tweak a feature or fix a bug, but what he appreciates more than the code in and of itself, I mean, code is obviously great, but what he learns more from the process is that he gains insight into how people are using our product or using that specific feature set. So people provide ideas on here's how you can enhance the product, or this is a reason why, you know, your feature isn't working in my environment. So, you know, he's one of the more active members in terms of like helping community members, and I thought like that was pretty insightful. I mean, this is coming from a back-end engineer. And he said, I love code, obviously, but the insight is what he gains more, because we can all be like heads down, and then we don't get a perspective from a user or from a customer, so that's what he values more than anything else. So I want to quickly move along. So when I started reaching out to individual contributors, I basically asked them like a similar set of questions. I mean, one obviously thing was, what can we do even better than what we've done today as a company? But the other couple of questions I asked were, how did you get started? How did you find out about GitLab? And two, like, what keeps you coming back and what keeps you contributing? And the reasons I found were like threefold. So I'll go through that really quickly. I mean, one is they just love, you know, specific features of our product or the directions we're taking. They love the fact that the CI/CD is integrated with the rest of our tool chain, so it makes it seamless to do their work. That's one. I mean, that's one common theme I heard. And the other thing, the popular thing I heard, was that they're passionate Ruby developers, and they love Ruby. And they're just looking for open source projects that they can contribute to. And when they do a Google search, fortunately GitLab came up, and that's sort of how they got started. I mean, second one is they're doing this obviously in their own time for the most part. And I mean, another good example I've heard is that, again, they're a Ruby developer, but their day job is they're more of a sysadmin or they're a database person. And by contributing to GitLab, it just keeps their Ruby skills like pretty up to date and current, and also allows them to have a track record of continuous development work they've done. So that's another example I've heard. And recently, I talked to a developer in Brazil. I mean, she has like a year left in college, and she stumbled onto GitLab as an open source project that she wanted to be part of. Like, she wanted to work on open source, and luckily she found us through personal contact. And just, you know, outside of the schoolwork, she just wanted to build her portfolio contributing to open source. And the third one, which I thought was pretty interesting and unexpected, was that in the process of contributing, even over like a few months, they built a bond, even a bond with GitLab team members, even if it was strictly through issues or conversation on merge requests. And when I saw some of the contributions that were going back and forth, I can see that even in the early days, they had a really strong relationship with some of our like maintainers and like even engineering fellows that, you know, a lot more than I had, because I recently joined. So I mean, they felt like they formed a bond with not just GitLab team members, but other members of the community. And that was like really interesting. I mean, that was kind of unexpected when I started talking to community members. And I'm gonna briefly pause and just ask a very rhetorical question. So like, if you look at this list of like a three buckets, does this look any different than other traditional open source projects? Not at all, right? I mean, that was my realization within the first few months of talking to a lot of contributors. Like, their motivation or wanting to become part of the community member is really not any different than foundation or more traditional open source projects. And the other thing that I realized is that, so the motivations, it's pretty much the same. It's they want to satisfy their intrinsic needs to either feel part of the community or develop their skills, but they're doing this in their own time. So if I like break any of their trust, what they're going to do is they're going to walk away, because they don't need to do this for a living, right? I mean, you're not being told to spend X percent of your time contribute to a certain project. And so I have a bigger responsibility to make sure that they feel welcome, comfortable, and then they're able to grow, like while contributing to our project. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and that's what I try to keep in mind. And I just wanted to throw that in there because I thought it was a nice magnet, but we're all the same inside. But yeah, so that's sort of my realization talking to GitLab contributors. So what are some of the things that I'm trying to do to make sure that they feel welcome and then they feel like they're growing as a developer, as a person, by contributing to our community? A few things. It's obviously like a work in progress. I like the quilt analogy because you're trying different things and putting different things together. So three major buckets. I won't go through in a whole lot of detail. I think I only have about 5 minutes left. Lowering the barrier to entry, this is like obvious, like things like, you know, having a good mentorship program, good coaches, good documentation, so it's easy to get people started. That's obvious. But the other thing that's a particular challenge for a company-based project is that, like I mentioned, the community members are not going to get intimately involved in all of our like a product and roadmap decisions. So if they have a question, we want to have like explanation and background of why the decision was made is pretty transparently available, whether it's on a documentation or recording of meetings. So I mean, they may not disagree with a certain decision we made, but at least they'll understand the rationale. I mean, this goes back to the leadership discussion. You may not agree with the decision that your executives have made, but good leaders provide a rationale for why they came to that decision. So at least you have the background. You're not just being told, we're going this way because I told you so. So we want to provide that background and have much of that information available. And it doesn't have to be like super polished. It could be a simple thing as a recording of a meeting that people can access. And it's amazing, like one of the things I learned, I talked about social media. I run a meeting, a monthly meeting with the community core team, and the core team is a group of people that's been making sustained contribution to GitLab for a period of time, and they get nominated and elected, so we try to do an open process. So I have a monthly meeting that I record, and I'm still stunned by the number of people that actually view them. Like, I mean, I'd like to find out who these people are. We had our last call, I think, on the 21st, uploaded it, went to bed. I mean, 2 days later, I went back to YouTube to check something else. I noticed that there were like 120 people who viewed it. Like, I was like pretty stunned. And just, I mean, there are like, people, I mean, like having access to information. And then even if it's what I think is more of an informational talk, I think people value it, having that information readily available. Sense of belonging. I mentioned earlier, like we don't necessarily have a good venue to get everybody together in a physical space, like a CNCF summit. But even virtual events, what I found out was that it can be helpful in trying to form a bond amongst like participants. Like we do a quarterly hackathon, it's like a 2-day event, like it's all online. I enjoy getting like merge requests coming in from community members, but what I enjoy seeing the most is on forums, like people are really helping each other during the hackathon. So I don't have to do all the work, or our engineers have to do like all the work in terms of answering their questions. So that kind of growth is like very satisfying to see as a community person. So even virtual event, I mean, could be very helpful in helping foster a bond amongst community members. And last but not least, in terms of recognition, I just want to point out, I mean, we obviously do blogs and highlighting different contributors. One of the easy ways that I found to recognize people for their work is organize a panel. So if you're a panel participant, the amount of work you need to do is a lot less. You don't have to put together a lot of slides. You don't have to go through like an intense CFP process. But just having them involved in a panel to sort of have giving them an opportunity to talk about what they've done or what they learned, like contributing to GitLab. And I think they definitely appreciated it. Like I sort of organized a panel and got their feedback on how they want the panel to run. But for them, it was like low prep work, but you know, ability to sort of highlight what they've done. It's been pretty helpful. And then I hope to do more of that. And I think I'm out of time.
I want to take 2 seconds. Yeah. May I steal 2 seconds of your
sure.
time?
Sure, yeah.
I just wanted to let everyone in this new room know that I've been doing community management a long time, and I really appreciate everything that Ray has done at GitLab. I have not seen a venture-funded company make a decision that their community really doesn't like and have that company respond authentically and roll it back. Like, that's amazing. And I just want to give Ray and GitLab a round of applause for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. No, we had a rough period in Q3 and Q4, and we learned a lot. And then, I mean, I got those questions asked over the past few days, and we certainly could have done better. But I mean, we have a passionate community, so which is great. So,
As a GitLab user, I'm just really happy you listened to us. Thank you,
right,
folks. I think Ray might have some time for questions in the hallway.
Yeah, happy
cool.
to.
Thank you all for coming. We are fortunate to have you with us, and hopefully we will get to see you again next year. Cheers.